want to share something very, very substantial and important today. If you could just listen, okay? This is the word of the Lord. And the title of the message for today's servants or employees, if you would, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Employees, I guess I'm contextualizing it, 21st century, okay? Be submissive to your boss, to your employer, with all respect. Can I just ask you, what kind of emotion rises right now when you hear that? I didn't ask you. Next week, it'll be wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. And people who say, you need to think about why you feel that way. Why do you think this is such a counterintuitive, radical thing? This is the word of the Lord which flows from himself. Do you get it? Word of God flows from himself. This is nature. This is character. Be submissive to your boss and your master, to employer, your superiors. And Bible is not an ethical moral teaching. It is not. It is to for you to live to God if you know him. Otherwise, you will never live to that. Okay? It is not a moral ethical teaching, but it is how you live before God, live to God. In other words, if God is God, how many of you say God is God? Would you say amen? That's a dumb statement, but it's a profound statement. If God is God of the scripture, and if God is alive, and God is sovereign, and God reigns, then this makes sense. Otherwise, this makes no sense. Okay? However, why we need to submit to our boss and employer, and the greatest reason is that's because that's who God is. Submissive. I share this in Trinity, there is submission. This is a big theological statement. In Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead, or the Godhead, the person of God, there is submission. Are you submissive? If not, God is not really reigning in your life. Okay? Why does it sound so counterintuitive, radical, or different or difficult, perhaps even impossible? Do you feel like it's an impossible thing? My boss is so not a good boss. It's impossible to listen to him. My president, my governor is so impossible to listen to. The scripture says, be subject to your masters with all respect. Can I just tell you what this is about? In Ephesians 5:21, it says, out of fear of God, submit to one another. In other words, you fear God, you revere God, you know God, that God is God, because he is your God, you submit. If you don't, it makes no sense. That's just how it is. We live in a culture and society that demands our rights, right? People rarely talk about privileges and sacrifices, but we are so keen to my rights, my equal rights. Let me give you some example. We have women's rights, children's right of a person with a certain sexual orientation, whether you are bisexual, homosexual, you are, I don't know, you know, whatever your sexual orientation is, you feel like you have the right. We have a right of those who have AIDS. We have ethnic rights, whether you're black, white, or Asian. Students' rights, and we have criminals' rights. We have employees' rights, and we have unemployment rights, and we have abortion rights. On and on and on and on. We're so keen and sensitive to my rights. Let me ask you a question. What would happen if you do not get what you think and believe is your right? What's going to happen to you? Something powerful will rise within you. And you're going to protest, and you're going to fight, and you're going to be angry. Right? Strikes, protests, insurrections and rebellions against governments, against companies, walkouts and sit-ins, and we rebel against those over us when what we think and what we believe is our right is violated or not met. Okay? It is our feeling of entitlement, deep sense of entitlement. In other words, I deserve it. I deserve it. Isn't it kind of interesting? That's the opposite of what grace is. You don't deserve it, but God gives to you. But we have this deep sense of, I deserve it. I rightly deserve it. I have the right, I have the entitlement, and if you do not give me what I have, my right and what I deserve, I'm going to fight back. I'm going to protest. I'm going to retaliate. I will rebel, and I will strike. I'll do whatever it takes. And that's the people, that's the world. You know, that's the world. Deep inside. You see, when we say submission, submission is not external things, okay? Big country invade a small country with guns and knives. They will submit to the big government, big country, but they will never submit inside. Do you agree? Yeah, it's a hatred. There's going to be hatred and anger. But Christian submission is not that. It's deep at the core. That's who God is, who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. That's Christianity. That's the world, and that's the value and the right of this world. Everybody wants to get what they think and what they believe they deserve and their rights. So rebellions and mutiny, protest and strike, and simply is part of our society and our world. Listen to the news. It's all that. Right? Listen to the news. It is a means to get not what I want, the gratification for those who demands what they deserve right in our social structure. That's the world. And here's a question for you. I ask this question, but if you are truly regenerated, born-again Christian, you will submit to your parents. I know I'm just rubbing you in the wrong way to so many people. Because in my life experience, whether it is in America or Africa or Asia, it doesn't matter. This is the human thing. People do not submit to their parents. Deep inside, you kind of despise. You look down. And you are resentful. You're bitter. Deep inside. You don't want to admit it. And it's glazed over a lot of like superficial obedience, but deep inside you are. You're not very proud of your parents. You're not very happy about them. And in fact, you are deeply bitter. So here's a question for you, okay? For all of us. If that's the world, what do we do with, we as a Christian, what do we do? How do we respond to all of these when there is injustice, protest, rally against company, against the government? What do you supposed to do, right? And the scripture, God answers very clearly, okay? Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Scripture does not go around, does not try to like apologize. Servants, be submissive, which is at the core, to your masters, to your employees, to your authorities, with all respect. Okay, that's difficult, but it goes even step further. Not only to the good and gentle bosses, but also to the unjust. Now, wait a minute. That makes no sense. That is so, wait. It makes no sense. It's so counterintuitive. So radical. So not possible. Can I just tell you something? This is, I believe this is the most practical. This is most practical. If this is not happening, then we have nothing to do with the gospel. Think about it. Scripture speaks like that. And if you know what follows, that's exactly who Jesus is, what he has done. And if we don't follow him, then what do you believe and what do you follow? Right? So today's text, Scripture and God answers to that question. What do we do with all these rallies and protests and strikes against the government? Are you happy with the government? Oh, it's a democratic government. Democrats. Republicans. Oh, the governor. The mayor. Do you do that? Or do you submit to him? It's a totally different thing, people. Do you submit to your employers? Do you always, boss is a jerk. There are synonyms. Is that the kind of attitude you have? Next week, we're going to talk about one more week of submission and submit to your husband. I know there are some wives. How many of you submit, how many of you wives submit to your husband? Would you say amen? Did you hear this? I'm going to ask one more time. You think about it. You don't have to answer. You think about it, but this is the kind of like congregation we have. How many of you wives submit to your husband? Would you say amen? Yeah, okay. I know there are more than these wives. Do you think Scripture is telling you to do something that is harmful to you? Do you think Scripture is doing something that against who God is? Remember, this is not an ethical teaching. This is not a how to improve your marriage teaching. That's dumb. Scripture is not that. Scripture is the word of God for you to how to live to God. Are you going to live before God? Or are you, you going to live just whatever kind of life? I think this is radical. Yeah, but so practical. If your heart and nature has been changed. Okay? So counterintuitive, even upsetting, yet so practical and so real. And I just want to keep reminding you that. You know what? We want to, deep inside, we want our rights. I deserve it. And I want the throne of my life. I am not the king, but I want to be a king. I want all of my rights and all of my deserve. That's our nature, whereas God and Christ is the King of Kings, but it has the nature of a servant, and he submits, and that's God's nature. Do you see how different they are? We call that sin nature, and we call this Jesus nature. Which nature do you have? Which nature do you have? Okay. Today's text is pretty amazing. Servants, be subject to your masters. I guess to contextualize it, we could say employees, be submissive to your boss with all respect, not only to good and gentle, but to the unjust. How many of you have a good and gentle boss? Would you say amen? Where's Paul Park? Oh. How many of you say you have a good and gentle boss? We don't think like that. But isn't it amazing? Not only be submissive to the good and gentle boss or masters, but also to the unjust. The word unjust is scoliosis, crooked, crooked. Do you have a crooked master? Scripture says submit to him. Last week, it was submit to the emperor. Who was the emperor of that Peter's time? Nero. A couple years later, after this book is written, Nero will crucify him upside down and kill Peter. And Peter is saying, submit to your emperors, kings and masters. So counterintuitive. Okay? And then it goes on to say, for this is a gracious thing. Tauto charis. If I may translate it, this is grace. Do you catch it? Submissive to a crooked and unjust boss is grace. It comes from grace. Without grace, you will never do it. Okay? It is grace when mindful of God. In other words, biggest game changer and the difference that's going to make it in your life is God. If God is God, you live like this. Otherwise, this makes no sense. People say, you know, leaving this worship service, say, yeah, I hear you, but I don't agree with you. What does that mean? I hear you, but I don't agree with you. I understand. But basically, you're saying, I don't agree with you, Scripture. I don't agree with you, what the Word of God is saying. Okay? This is grace when mindful of God, what endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. Now, take a moment and try to think with me. Okay? We could suffer because of justice. We could suffer because of injustice. Okay? Do you catch that? I want you to see this. You could suffer, people suffer because of justice. And then there are the people who suffer because of injustice. And that's exactly what Peter describes. Verse 20, what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it? Now, if you commit a crime and sin and you get punished, is that justice or injustice? Hello? Justice. It's justice. If you hurt someone, you need to be penalized. If you commit a crime, you need to be penalized. And Bible is saying, what credit is it when you sin, when you commit a crime and beaten for it and endure? You have to endure because that's what you deserve. But if when you do good and suffer for it, what is that? Is that justice or injustice? That's injustice. And Bible and Peter and God is telling us, submit to unjust boss, unjust emperor, unjust, right? If you do good and suffer for it, if you endure, that's a gracious thing in the sight of God. That is grace in the sight of God. Original text says para theo, which means from God. That's grace from God. That's amazing if you think about it. In other words, you could live. You could only live because you have God and grace of God upon your life. And it goes even further. For this you have been called. That's your calling. That's why you are chosen race, royal priesthood, and holy nation. That's your calling. For to this you have been called because, and the rest of the verses speaks about who Jesus is. Because Christ suffered for you. Okay, well, how did he suffer? Cross. All that mistreatment, ridiculous injustice in the court of the Roman government, Roman governor. What did Jesus do? Rebelled, threatened, and fight back. No, none of those. He submitted, actually, to the Roman government, to Pontius Pilate, and the verdict that is such an unjust. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow his footsteps. How many of you want to follow Jesus? Would you say amen? This is how you follow. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. I want my rights, equal rights. I want to be the king, and I'm going to fight back. I'm going to get mad and pissed. No, I'm going to deny myself and take up his cross. The ultimate picture of suffering unjustly is the cross. If there is anyone who really suffered in unjust, that's Christ, person of Christ. Why? Because he's crimeless and sinless. And yet he was executed by sentenced to death by Roman governor. He was complete picture of suffering unjustly. A lot of our suffering is suffering justly. You've been doing a lot of drugs, and you get HIV. That's pretty much the result of your sin, your crime. Christ suffered unjustly. Do you catch this? For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. Still talking about Christ. The rest of him is all about Jesus. Servants, submit to your masters, because this is who Jesus is. This is how he lived. That's basically what Peter's doing. He committed no sin. Of course, Jesus had to be. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. We are full of deceits. People justify their faults and shortcomings, and we always do for my own benefit. You do and I do. But we find no deceit found in his mouth, even when he was going through that phony trial under Pontius Pilate and Roman government. He spoke not, found no deceit in his mouth. When he was reviled, abused, okay? When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. That's my right. That's my equal right. You do that, I'm going to do this to you. Jesus didn't do that, although he had all the rights to. Right? He did not, when he suffered, he did not threaten. If you think about it, if anybody could overturn the Roman government, it's Jesus and God. But he did not threaten. He was like a little sheep going into slaughter, speechless, right? So he did not threaten. But look what he did. But he continued entrusting. Meaning he was entrusting. He was trusting. Now he continued to entrust himself to him who judges justly. Wow, it's an amazing statement. This week, I was preparing this message, and I got excited. Sometimes I get excited during the week when I study the Word of God. Do you ever get that? Yes. I hope you do. What do you do when you get that? I normally share. It's a good thing to share. What do you share during the week with people? Yeah, Jets are going to the Super Bowl. I don't know whether that'll ever happen. Yeah. You know? We share such a trivial, non-essential things. But you could share this profound truth. Cross, if you think about it, how did Jesus end up in the cross? It was injustice. He was suffered unjustly. Phony trial. He never committed any crime. He never committed any sin. He never was an insurrectionist. But basically, they were accusing him. He's a threat to the Roman government. He's an insurrectionist. He is stirring people up to fight against Roman government. All these lies of injustice. And he was trialed. And Jesus said all the things that he could defend himself, but he spoke not. He suffered unjustly, and he was executed to death on the cross. So he ended up on the cross through the unjust injustice of human beings and the government and the governors. At the same time, it is to demonstrate God's justice. Do you catch that, people? Do you catch that? We fight for justice, although we are unjust. But he did the opposite. He took injustice, unjust suffering, to bring out God's perfect justice on the cross. Okay? It's amazing, people. If you think about a prime example of suffering unjust, that's the cross. Because Jesus never committed a crime or sin. He even spoke not. He had all the right to defend himself, but he didn't. And yet he went to the cross speechless. He was submissive to the government, Roman government. He was submissive to the Roman governor and government. And he was submissive to even to that foolish trial. And he went to the cross. How did he do that? Because he entrusted himself to the one who's going to judge justly. Can I just tell you something, brothers and sisters? People say we need to find justice in this world right now. You don't do that. Scripture doesn't tell you to do that. But you will see justice when Christ returns. Absolutely. The proof of his character and the justice that is coming is because of the cross. What's the purpose of the cross? Bring the justice, perfect justice of God, that every sin and every crime of every human being will be punished. That's what the cross is. Okay, it begins with a bold statement. Servants, be submissive to your masters in all respect. Okay, so who is this Jesus? How is this possible? Why is Scripture and Christianity teaching this? Here's why. That's who Jesus is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in nature God, morphe God, meaning he in essence and by nature is God. He's 100% God. He's equal with God. Jesus even said, Father and I are equal. He's equal with God, but he did not consider equal with God. Philippians 2:7 says, although he being in very nature God, did not consider equal with God. In other words, he laid down his equal rights. Who did? Jesus did. And he submitted himself to the Father. There is submission in Trinity, people. How many of you want to be a submissive person? Would you say amen? I don't know about you. I want to submit to the Lord. And if I submit to the Lord, I know I'm going to be submitting to my moms. I know I'll be submitting to my president. Whoever Lord places there, whether it is Mr. Trump, Mr. Biden, that's not your place. That's in the hand of God. How many of you do believe that God is God? Amen. I know I keep asking this question. The reason you protest is because you don't believe God is God. Because God is not your God. That's why you protest. If you really believe God is God of the Scripture and his sovereign and he has a plan for the future and hope for you, would you not submit to him? Your submission to the government, your submission to your boss, your submission to your husband or your wife is not to them primarily, but your submission to God. Do you catch it? If you don't do it, then what are you doing? You are rebelling. You're a sin. That's a sin nature. Isn't it interesting? It speaks about sin. Look at this. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued trusting himself to him who judges justly. Scripture says, you're going to be judged justly. Every single one of you. Look at me, please. You're going to be judged justly. Okay? So what did he do? Because he entrusted himself to God, because he trusts himself to him who judges justly, what did he do? He submitted to the injustice, unjust judge and the governor. That's exactly what he says. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. How is this related to submission? Non-submissive heart is a rebellious heart. Submissiveness is Christ's likeness. Would you say amen? Amen. If you're not submitting, then you are rebelling against God. That's exactly what Scripture says. Romans chapter 13. If you're rebelling against the government, basically, Scripture says you're rebelling against God. And that's our nature. You don't even have to try. You will naturally do that. You could only be transformed by supernatural work of the Holy Spirit so that your nature changes because God is God, because God is sovereign, because God is your Father, and you believe that He has a plan for future and hope, you submit to His reign. That's then and only then this will make sense. If you understand this, would you say amen? Brothers and sisters, Scripture is not moral ethical teaching. So it's not your place to find out, oh, that's true, that's not true. That's so not relevant. That's so impractical. That's not your place. Don't try that. Scripture has to do with God's people living to God. Okay? What happens when you do that? Then Christ will be revealed. Then you're proclaiming Christ. If you suffer for your sin and crime, there is nothing for you to brag about. But if you are suffering for injustice, then something different people will see. In the time of God's visitation, they may glorify God because of you. You are proclaiming the excellencies of Christ. I mean, I hear so many stories of women, wives, suffer because of her husband. Do you know anybody like that? Maybe your mom went through that. He was an alcoholic. He was a gambler, irresponsible father. But mom prayed and endured for so many years. So many years, right? And one day God visits that man, your father, and he sees grace. He sees the truth. He sees the reality of the Scripture. And then remembers how his wife lived all these years. And he repents and glorifies God because of your mother's life. How many of you have seen that? Did anybody see this? This is a repetitious story of humanity. These days, sometimes opposite, wives are all over the place. And husband needs to be patient. Do you see what's going on? He bore our sins in his body on the tree, which means our sin to rebel, sin to, you know, just claim our rights, equal rights. But deep inside, what that it is a sin that you desire to be the king, and you want to be the king of your own life. Sin nature. But Christ's nature is the opposite. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equal with God, but he humbled himself, he emptied himself, and taking on the nature of a servant. Do you catch this? Jesus is forever king, God, and forever servant. Would you say amen? Amen. Now, that's a mystery, isn't it? He's the king of kings, and yet he's the slave and servant. So this whole scripture that we're looking at today is mainly talking about Jesus. Servants, be subject to your master with all respect, not only to your good and gentle master, but to the unjust. Who suffered unjustly? Jesus did. Where did he suffer unjustly? On the cross. He did not revile. He did not threaten. He did not commit sin. Why? Because he was being submissive to the unjust government. At the same time, to the Father. At the same time. That's what the message of the cross is. That's precisely who Jesus is. As a servant, he was submissive to the governor, Pontius Pilate, and the Roman government. This is not just theory, people. Do you think our government is worse than Roman government? And our governor is worse than Pontius Pilate? Come on, people. And yet, Jesus submitted. Because he trusted him who will judge justly. Okay? Such an unjust trial, sentenced to death on a cross by Pontius Pilate, and he was then executed to death. Brothers and sisters, for this you have been called. We're talking about as God's chosen people, we proclaim the excellencies of Christ. How many of you want to proclaim Christ in your life? Would you say amen? Amen. If you seriously mean it, we're starting a church plant. We're hoping to see Christians thrive. If you want to preach Christ, this is how we are called to live. This is our calling. Do you think God is calling us to do something that is impossible? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I want to ask you, have you submitted to your parents? Have you submitted to your pastor? Who is your pastor? I always ask this question. Do you have a pastor? Hello? Do you have a pastor? I'm seriously asking this question. Do you have a pastor? Pastor meaning shepherding your life. I need to know your life. Which means you need to be around the church and shepherd. That's what it means to be committed and submit to the church. You don't just say it. Can you imagine you're married and you never, your wife never knows what's going on in your life? That's no marriage. So is church. Have you submitted to the church? You know why we are so upset? Because I want my right. I am right. I deserve it. What is that? Sin nature. You know why you suffer so much with that? Because you have never submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because you never was broken by His grace deep in your heart. That's why you're rebelling. That's why you're getting upset. That's why you're fighting for your rights. That's why you're upset because I don't get what I want, what I deserve. In closing, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. How many of you have died? I'm asking, have you died to sin and lived to righteousness? Would you say amen? Then this is how you're called to live. This is how you're called to live. Otherwise, you're not even close. You're not even close. This is not an ethical teaching. This is not a moral teaching so that you will have a better marriage, better family structure. No, it's not that at all. That, although that might be the byproduct, but this is how you live to God. If you are serious about living to God. If God is God of your life. Okay? Cross of Christ is Jesus' submission. Jesus submitted. Submissiveness is Christ-likeness. It's very difficult to do anything with non-submitted people. Think about it. Can you imagine your patients come to your office, doctor's office, and he would not submit? How do you know that? How do you know that? You know? Who do you think you are? Like how much? Like, can you imagine that? It's very difficult to do anything with non-submissive people. You're running a soccer team. Why do we have to run 2 miles? 0.2 miles will do. Always rebelling. Always seeking for my right. That's sin nature. That's your nature. That's your nature before your conversion. That's your nature. By the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, your nature changes to Christ's nature, God's nature. We call that Christianity and the gospel. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you desire that, people? How many of you desire that? No, I'm gonna rebel. I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna fight my husband till the end. I'm gonna be victorious over my husband. I'm gonna be victorious over my, you know, that's how human beings live. You know, people live in darkness. Let me just tell you, I meet people during the week. People live in darkness. People inside the church live in darkness. They live in darkness. They do not submit to their parents. Always bitter. Always bitter. You can smell the bitterness. People live in darkness. People live in guilt. People live with this pornographic illusions. Do you understand that? People living in darkness. And Jesus is the light of the world. Something deep inside at the core changes. Okay. How is that going to happen? Simply this statement right here. This is gracious thing in the sight of God. And the original text says, this is grace from God. This is grace from God. That's what grace is. Okay. I just want to close you with one question. Don't try to slide this topic, because you'll go backward. You'll go backward. Don't try to slide this topic. Have you submitted to the Lord? Look at me, please. Have you submitted to the Lord? I'm seriously asking you this question. Have you submitted to the Lord? That's what it means to become a Christian. We could talk about this moral ethical teachings until you turn 80 years old. But if your nature doesn't change, this will never happen and will make no sense to you. This is what it is to become Christ followers by becoming a Christian. This is what it means to proclaim Christ through your life. Because that's exactly how Jesus lived, and that's who Jesus is. His nature is servant. His nature is a slave. Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Your life hangs on it, people. Your life hangs on it. Your life hangs on it. This word submission is such an important gospel word. It's something that is at the core. Otherwise, you will never submit to your husband. What do you mean, submit to your husband? You despise them, and you want to use him for yourself. All your life, you're going to live like that. Your job is never for the job. It's always for yourself. Who's going to pay me more? Who's going to give me less work? Who's going to treat me better? That's all you're going to live for. The government, same thing. Your family life, same thing. Your marriage, same thing. Your whole life, you will be boiling inside. You're getting upset for this, upset for that, upset at church, upset at pastor, upset at everybody. Basically, you're upset at the world. God is not God of your life. My question to you is God God of your life? Have you submitted to him? Let's pray.